On today's program, we'll continue looking at how we live out our total consecration. Stay tuned. It's coming right up. Hey, welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak. Come on in, make yourself at home. Tonight, we continue our look at what happens now that we made our total consecration. And as I mentioned on last night's program, I am technically at the moment in Cleveland. I am pre-recording this show. I'm headed to Cleveland to film an episode of Dr. Ray Guarendi's program, Living Right. So I wanted to pre-record the show to make sure you had the program. We'll continue this look on our show at how to live out the Marian consecration. Last night we discussed renewal, how it's important to renew in some way, even in a very small way, to renew our consecration every day. And we began a discussion on attitude, and then we will conclude with the idea of devotion today. So we'll look at attitude and devotion, how we can live out this Marian consecration. Now, technically, we really don't have to do anything once we make our total consecration. We just have to respond to the Holy Spirit in our lives, whatever He's telling us to do. And Mary's going to help us be able to better hear the Holy Spirit. But we really should want to, and that's the point of this. If you really want to develop a relationship with the Blessed Mother, and I don't think you would have wanted, I think you want to do that, or you wouldn't have gone through 33 days of preparation. If we really want to do that, we want to do what we can to build up or to work on that relationship. So that's what we'll talk about on the show today. And briefly, since today is Friday, Monday of next week, we go back to our regular themes on the program, which each day will feature a reading from sacred scripture. We'll look at the daily mass reading. So, you know, this is one of the great ways to let the Lord speak to you through the Bible. This is what I always recommend to people when they want to get acquainted with scripture, when they want to start to let the Lord speak to them through the Bible. I always say use the daily mass readings. It's the best thing for you. It lets the church guide you through the mass readings. Because otherwise what happens is we have our favorite verses and we just keep going back to those same verses. It's good to do that, especially if those verses encourage you. But it's also good that we allow the Lord to tell us things that we might not necessarily want to hear. A lot of the things that we really need to hear are not things that we want to hear. And that's why the daily mass readings are perfect, because the church guides us through the Bible. And that's what we'll do on the program every day. In addition, we will have a regular theme from Monday through Friday. Monday's theme is what Catholics really believe. We started, before the consecration, walking through the catechism. We'll continue that. And I keep it very high level, and I keep it to the point. But I'm going to teach you things that you might not be aware of. And that's a big problem with those of us who are Catholic. I had 12 years of Catholic education. I went to Mass every Sunday throughout my life, and I am still learning so much about the church with which Christ founded. And it's important that we do understand the church so that we can explain concepts to people who might be interested in becoming Catholics, or Catholics who might be thinking of leaving the one true church because they don't understand something. So that's what we'll do on Monday. Tuesday, we look at the amazing, and I mean amazing, book by Thomas A. Kempis called The Imitation of Christ. The program title that I use for Tuesday is Imitating Christ. We're going to learn how to imitate Christ. Now, remember, we've got Mary by our side to help us to grow closer to Christ, but we have to ultimately cooperate with the graces that she's getting for us and live a more Christ-like life. So this book is fantastic. If you're not familiar with it, you're going to love it. And again, everything I do on this show is succinct and really to the point. You know me, I'm not a super academic genius, right? We know that. And you don't have to agree so quickly, but it's the truth. I'm just a regular guy who tries my best to love the Lord and do what He wants me to do every day. And you'll be amazed just how much you can understand. But I like to try to keep it very simple, but yet give you substance. I want to make sure I give you substance on this program. I don't want to just bombard you with a barrage of fluff. You deserve more than that. You deserve the truth. You deserve substance, but I like to keep it simple. Wednesday, My Daily Bread. There was an amazing book by Father Anthony Payone. It was written in the early 50s by a publisher out of Brooklyn, New York. This book is still in print. It's reprinted. It's an amazing book. It was one of Mother Angelica's favorite books. It's called My Daily Bread. And each day is just packed with a great message for ways that we can grow closer to our Lord. Thursday, we're going to call that Mother's Day, and we will spend time talking about our Blessed Mother. And then again on Friday, we close out the week with The Power of Kindness. This is based on a book by Father Lawrence Lovasik. The original book was called simply Kindness, and there is an abridged version that's still in print. It's called The Hidden Power of Kindness. I've got the original copy of the book. You're going to get the full material. This book will blow you away. I've been doing this segment on my show for years, and I get so many comments about it. It teaches us how to be kind. I mean, that's so incredibly important, but yet we overlook it and we struggle with it. So if you're interested, 30 minutes each night is all it's going to take. I'm going to still be around, and I'm going to get lonely if you're not here. I will have a place at the table for you. You bring your snack, you bring your beverage. I have a chair for you. Let's sit around and talk about the Lord each night, okay? You're always welcome here. For more information about the work that I do, my books, if you want to maybe invite me to speak at your parish, and I would love to talk about total consecration. So if you would like me to come and speak about total consecration at your parish, let me know. Followingthetruth.com is the place to find out about the talks that I give. And you can send me a message there. You can also email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com if you want to find out more information about bringing me to your parish or have any questions at all. Anything that I can do for you, just let me know. Let's pray, and then we'll continue with what do we do after consecration. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for sharing your mother with us. What a great blessing it is, Lord. We're honored to have her as our spiritual mother. Lord, we promise to love her just as you do. We promise to listen to her. We promise to follow the instructions that we get through her spouse, the Holy Spirit, because we know that she's going to be speaking to you and to the Holy Spirit and to help us. She's going to be helping us to grow closer to you. Jesus, thank you so much for the many graces that you are giving us through your mother. Thank you for the blessings in our lives. Please keep us all safe. Please protect and watch over our family members. Help us to be your witnesses in the world. Keep us strong. Keep us on the track, on the right track. The track that will one day lead to eternal life with you in heaven, Lord. Please grant us the strength to persevere in living out this total consecration. Please help those who are sick, those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who are battling addictions, those who are struggling financially, as well as those who are dealing with any kind of scrupulosity or other difficult condition. Jesus, we ask you to help us with our own personal needs, intentions, those things which keep us distracted and keep us from focusing on you. Please help us handle them. And I give you this program, Lord, and I ask you to speak through me today, and please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to whatever it is that you have to say. And as we present these intentions to you, we know that as you reign with your Father in heaven and the Holy Spirit, that you will grant us what it is that we need each day. Thank you, Jesus. And now we turn to your Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers as together we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Louis de Montfort, Saint Maximilian Kolbe, Saint John Paul II, Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, thanks so much for tuning into the program. I'm Gary Zimak, and I'm here with you each night on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight we conclude our look at the total consecration. We look at what it is that we do now after we have consecrated our lives to Jesus through Mary. Last night we talked about renewal. Each day we need to renew this consecration in some way. Blessed Mother, I give you all that I have. I am totally yours, or something to that effect. Father Gately has a bit of a longer prayer. Whatever works for you. And then we look at the attitude. What kind of a Marian attitude should we have? We started talking about this last night. Let's continue on with St. Maximian Kolbe. While Kolbe describes his consecration to Mary in a way similar to this citation, instrument in Mary's hands, he believes that no fixed formula exists for living the consecration. He thinks that Mary herself needs to teach us what it means. I don't know anything, either in theory and still less in practice, about how one can serve the Immaculata, Kolbe said. She alone must instruct each one of us at every moment. To receive Mary's instructions, we need to turn to her through humble prayer and reflect on the loving experience of her intercession in our daily lives. In sum, for Kolbe, we learn the attitude of consecration by relying on Mary's powerful intercession. It's experiencing her tender care, speaking to her from our hearts, letting ourselves be led by her, having recourse to her in all things, and trusting her completely. Also, Kolbe would say that our consecration to Mary should give us an apostolic spirit that seeks to inspire others to make the consecration. For as we learned earlier, Marian consecration is not just the quickest, easiest, and surest way to holiness for you and for me, but for everyone. And thus, it's the most efficient way to bring the whole world to God in Christ. Now, they are some of the thoughts of St. Maximian Kolbe, who is really saying, and this is a good idea, that Mary needs to teach us what it means to live out this consecration. And you know, he brings up a really good point, one that we may not be aware of. Mary's a real person. And when we enter into this relationship with her, she's going to be communicating to us. You know, let's not forget that. Let's not forget that Mary can indeed speak to us. She's not divine. She's not a god in any way. But she can speak to us. She can speak to us through our thoughts, through her words in Scripture, in many different ways. You know, Mary's last recorded words in sacred Scripture occurred at the wedding at Cana, when she said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." That's one of her messages for us. She's telling us, do whatever Jesus tells you to do. So when Jesus speaks to you through the Bible, through prayer, through maybe other people, we need to obey what it is that he's telling us, and we can be sure that that's what Mary wants us to do. So keep working on that relationship. Just make it a point to converse with her every day. It doesn't have to be anything too elaborate. Just talk to her. Talk to her as you would your mom, and know that she's with you every day. All right, for Blessed Mother Teresa, the living out of Marian consecration is essentially an attitude of the heart. More specifically, it's a living with and in Mary's Immaculate Heart. It's a living with and in Mary's Immaculate Heart. This attitude is described in detail in her consecration covenant, which we read earlier. Moreover, the context for her entire consecration is found in a kind of compassion on Jesus, who thirsts for love and for souls. So for Mother Teresa, the attitude of living the consecration is one of allowing Mary to bring us to the cross of Jesus, of letting her quiet us so that we can hear Jesus' painful thirst, and of asking her to teach us to console Jesus with her own pure love. So we really turn to the Blessed Mother, and we ask her to help us love Jesus with her heart. St. John Paul II finds the core of how we should live out our entrustment to Mary in words from the Gospel of John. In John 19:27, he said, "And from that hour the disciple took her into his own home." In other words, he understands the attitude of entrustment as bringing Mary into everything that makes up one's inner life. As the Pope of Suffering, he also gives a co-redemptive emphasis to his theology of Marian entrustment. He does this when he pointed out that she who was most fully united to Christ in his redemptive consecration of himself on the cross helps us to unite ourselves to this same consecration. In other words, Mary helps us to offer up our own crosses. She reminds us not to waste our suffering. And she gives us the courage to be her co-redeemers with Christ. Of course, in a way that is subordinate and united to Christ. Now, I realize I'm hitting you with a lot of deep information here. We can't get into it in a lot of depth. Read this over again. And, you know, feel free to do a little research or whatever you need to do. If some of this boggles your mind, take a step back. You know, if it's too much, you don't need to understand all of this. But I wanted to try to cover some of these ideas. Again, take what you can, take in what you can, and don't panic if you don't get all of this. What we see in all these saints and blesseds, however they express it, is that we should draw close to Mary, lovingly depend on her, speak to her from our hearts, have confidence in her powerful intercession, and share with her our joys, sorrows, and suffering. You know, that's really a good way to put it. Draw close to her, depend on her lovingly, speak to her from our hearts, have confidence in her powerful intercession, and share with her our joys, sorrows, and sufferings. You do that, you're going to be living out this consecration. Father Mike states, having said this, being consecrated to Mary is not based on feelings. Remember what I told you about that? Or even a constant mindfulness of Mary. As beautiful as such mindfulness is, according to St. Maximilian Kolbe, the proper attitude of those who are consecrated to Mary flows not so much from reason or emotions, but from the will. St. Kolbe's words, "It is not at all necessary that the thought of the Immaculata should occur to one's mind, for the essence of our union with her does not consist in thought, memory, or sentiment, but in our will." Boy, that's deep. "I continue to say we belong to her even if we do not constantly repeat this concrete offering of a particular action to her. Because we consecrated ourselves to her once, we have never taken back our consecration." That's a really good point. You don't have to be thinking at every moment of the day that you were consecrated to Mary. You made the consecration. Now, again, these saints all differ somewhat in their approach. St. Louis de Montfort recommends that we do renew this every day. But I think sometimes we can panic and we can think, "Oh, I'm not thinking of Mary. I just prayed to Jesus. What's wrong? I'm doing something wrong." And I think he's trying to reassure us here that that's not, we don't have to worry about that. St. Maximilian states, "Even when we are not thinking of it, Mary directs every one of our actions, prearranges all the circumstances, repairs the damage of our falls, and leads us lovingly toward heaven. And through us, she is pleased to implant good ideas, sentiments, and examples everywhere in order to save souls and lead them to the good Jesus." So while St. Louis de Montfort says, "We must never go to our Lord except through Mary," Kolbe teaches us, now listen to this. This, you really need to hear this, because this causes such confusion for so many people each year. St. Louis de Montfort said, "We should never go to our Lord except through Mary." But St. Maximilian Kolbe teaches us that this going through her does not always have to be a conscious act. So here's the deal. You are allowed to go directly to Jesus, but you've made your total consecration. Therefore, it's implied that you're going through Mary, because otherwise what's going to happen is you're going to go bonkers, right? You're going to be focusing so much on, "Oh no, I just prayed to Jesus, but I didn't talk to Mary. Did I forget Mary? Did I talk more to Jesus than I did to Mary?" Don't panic about that. Don't let that drive you crazy. Now, St. Maximilian Kolbe would surely say that it's a good thing to explicitly turn to Mary, but it's not necessary to do this every time we turn to Jesus. St. Maximilian believes that once we've consecrated ourselves to Mary and develop a habitual dependence on her, We always do go to Jesus with her, even if we're not thinking of it. It's like this. Let's say a husband loves his wife and has to leave for a business trip far from home. While he's traveling, meeting with clients, and filling out reports, his wife is still with him in his heart, even if he's not explicitly thinking of her. So it is with us when Mary is in our hearts. Now, I really think that should make you feel better, because this is a constant problem for people who make the total consecration. And I struggled with this too in the past. We think that I need to go explicitly through Mary. If you go to Mary, if you turn to Mary and you ask her for anything, understand that she is going immediately to Jesus. She doesn't do anything on her own. She goes to Jesus. But if you go to Jesus, she's going to be so happy because she wants you to go to Jesus. That's the whole purpose of doing this consecration. When I asked Father Gately about this when he was on the program, I said, who do we speak to? Because people have this question. How do we handle this? He said, speak to Mary, speak to Jesus, speak to the Father, and speak to the Son. We are part of this beautiful family. And we should speak to all the members of the family. And he said to me, and on this program, he said, do you just speak to one of your siblings? Do you just speak to your mother? Do you just speak to your father? No. If you're in a normal family, you speak to everybody. That's the same way it should be for us. All right, back to the book. Let's see. I'm not going to read all of this because I want to get to devotion. But if you want to read more of this, read it, you know, read it in your spare time. I don't want to speed through this. I'd like to emphasize one important point before we conclude. These are Father Gately's words. While it's true that the effects of Marian consecration hold even when we're not thinking about Mary, living the consecration does require some effort. After all, deep relationships require communication and work, and this definitely applies to our relationship with Mary. The communication part refers to developing a loving dependence on her and turning to her in prayer, which we've already learned about in this section and about which we'll learn even more in the next. The work part refers to avoiding sin, which breaks both Jesus's and Mary's hearts. Let me be clear. To be fully consecrated to Mary does not mean we will not sin. However, it does mean that we should have a sincere resolution to avoid at least all mortal sin, and that we should truly strive to grow in virtue and holiness. This is such a crucial part of Marian consecration. As you'll recall, De Montfort begins his prayer of consecration with a renewal of our baptismal promises to reject Satan and follow Jesus Christ more closely. In conclusion, if we're fully consecrated to Mary, then she works in our lives, augments our good works, and cares for us and our loved ones, even when we don't have recourse to her. Moreover, with the Holy Spirit, she leads us to Jesus, regardless of whether or not we're thinking of her. Such is the power of her motherhood. Such is the power of Marian consecration. Because of the greatness of this gift, we should strive all the more to unite ourselves with Mary and aim to do everything through her, with her, and in her. At least out of gratitude, we should make it our aim to have an attitude of growing mindfulness and dependence on her. Yet there should be more at work here than just trying to be grateful to Mary, for the more we belong to her, the more she can use us to accomplish God's most perfect will. And the final concept when it comes to living out the consecration is one of devotion. Father Gately writes, to help us deepen our attitude of loving dependence on Mary, it's a good idea to practice Marian devotions, especially those that are most connected to Marian consecration. Preeminent among these is the Rosary. Now, today, this month, October, is the month dedicated to the Holy Rosary. I pray a rosary every day, and I would strongly encourage you, if you are able to do so, to do it. A lot of people have struggles with being distracted while they pray the rosary. I find, or at least sometimes I find it helpful, to pray the rosary along with Father Mitch Pacwa on EWTN. That is a great version of the rosary. Mother Angelica has another one that they've taped and have shown for years. And there are other rosary DVDs available that help you to avoid being distracted. So that might work for you. I've prayed rosaries in the car, and that's always been a time. I've taken walks and prayed the rosary. My family and I pray a rosary at night, and I am seeing great fruit resulting from these prayers. So if you if there's any way possible that you can pray a rosary, please make it a point to do so. Start small. You don't do it every day initially, because it's going to be hard for you. You might need to spread it out throughout the day. That might work too. But do something if you can to give it a try, to start praying a rosary. Maybe not every day in the beginning, because that might be overwhelming. Maybe one day, maybe 2 days, and see, let it build from there. And as you start to grow closer to our Blessed Mother, you'll probably feel the desire to do more. And you'll begin to see her work in your life. It really is incredible. Novenas, from the Latin word novem, meaning nine, a novena is typically a nine-day period of prayer to obtain special graces or to implore particular petitions. There are any number of different rosaries. There is a miraculous medal. Any number of novenas. There is a miraculous medal novena. There is a Mary Undoer of Knots novena. And this is the devotion that's really popular now because of Pope Francis being so devoted to that Mary Undoer of Knots devotion. There are other novenas as well. Consider doing some of these from time to time. Icons. Any icon or tasteful images or representations of Jesus, Mary, the angels, or the saints serve to turn our minds and hearts to God as they remind us of his presence and the loving intercession of Mary, the angels, and the saints. So little prayer cards, maybe. I've got several images of the Blessed Mother on my desk. I see her when I look around my office as I'm doing my work. She can inspire you. And, you know, to be honest, if you're somebody who struggles with looking at maybe impure images on the internet, things you shouldn't really look at, I mean, that's a common problem nowadays. Putting a holy card around your computer screen has an incredible effect, because you're going to remember that the Blessed Mother sees you and that you consecrated your life to Jesus through her. And we need those little reminders. Okay, pilgrimages. Pilgrimages lead us from everyday rhythm and distractions of life to a graced place of prayer and an encounter with the Lord. There are many Marian shrines around the U.S. and the world. Finally, feast days. Those who are consecrated to Mary should celebrate her feast days with particular fervor and love. For those of us who are consecrated to Jesus through Mary, a big part of the reality of our life and our world is our consecration, our belonging to God through the Mother of God. So we should truly celebrate Marian feasts as occasions to express our joy in belonging to God through her. And there are many Marian feasts throughout the church year. I'm just looking at some of them. Some of them are in the front of this book here. Our Lady of Lourdes, the Annunciation, Our Lady of Fatima, the Visitation, Immaculate Heart of Mary, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, the Assumption, the Queenship of Mary, Our Lady of the Rosary, which is October the 7th. The next one is the Presentation of Mary, November the 21st. The big one, the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, occurs on December the 8th. Our Lady of Guadalupe, December the 12th. Mary the Mother of God, January 1st. And the Presentation of Our Lord, February the 2nd. So we have lots of Marian feast days, which can give us a chance to really express our devotion to the Blessed Mother. Well, that's all I have. We are just about out of time. I really want to thank you again. I hope that you'll be back here on Monday as we look at what Catholics really believe in the daily Mass readings. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Let me know if there's anything that I can do for you. We're going to continue to live out our consecration day by day. You're going to see great results in your life. Start looking for them. That's one of the things you want to do. Start looking for these results so that you can recognize them. Thank you again for everything. I hope that you'll be here Monday. I'll have a chair for you. Have a great weekend. God bless you, and let me know if there's anything you need. You'll be in my prayers. Take care.